1,000 years ago, a baby was born and changed this whole world. It never will be the same again. I want you to know before I begin this morning that you're looking at a prophet. And I'm going to give you 10 prophecies that I guarantee will come to pass in the year 2011. Number one, the Bible will still have all the answers. Number two, prayer will still be the most powerful thing on earth. Number three, the Holy Spirit will still move. Number four, God will still honor the praises of his people. Number five, there will still be God-anointed preaching. Number six, there will still be singing of praise to God. Number seven, God will still pour out his blessings upon his people. Number eight, there will still be room at the cross. Number nine, Jesus will still love you. And number 10, Jesus will save the lost when they come to him. 10 prophecies that will come to pass this coming year. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to 3 John, please. 3 John, towards the end of the New Testament. Page 1327, and then keep something there in 3 John. We are about to end the year of 2010, and we're going to begin a brand new year of 2011. So as we near the end of this old year and look in a few days for the new year to come in, I want all of the folks who make up Good Shepherd Baptist Church, I want you to know what my wish is for you in the coming year. And my wish for all of you is found in verse number 2 of 3 John. And if you'll look at it with me, please. Verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Let's bow in prayer together. Father, I pray that you'll give me the attention of all these folks for the next few minutes. And I pray that there might not be any interruptions while the preaching of your word is going on. I pray you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst, that he might not hinder the word of God going forth. I pray you'll open up the ears of those who are sitting here and that they may hear the word of God. And some need to respond to it for salvation, and some for maybe church membership, and others for baptism. Other decisions ought to be made at the invitation. Help folks to make decisions they'll be glad 100 years from now they've made. Bless your word. May it not return void. Empower me to preach it. In Jesus' name, amen. Have any of you folks ever attended a service of a totally black church? If you have, you notice how they show their emotions and feelings far more than we conservative folks do. They are more verbal in their responding to the preaching. They actually talk back to the preacher as he is preaching. In one such service where they had a new preacher, he got up before his black congregation and he began to talk to the people right from his heart. He was preaching hard, and he was trying to get the folks excited about what the church was going to do under his new leadership. So he says to the deacons and the entire congregation, I believe this church is going to walk. And several of the deacons and members of the congregation said, yes, amen, this church is going to walk. The preacher went on and he said, I believe the church is going to run. Again, a number of the deacons and several of the congregation said, yes, this church is going to run. The preacher went on and said, not only that, but this church is going to fly. And the entire congregation said, amen, this church is going to fly. And then the preacher said, and it costs money for the church to fly. There was total silence. Then one of the deacons yelled out, let her walk. It's wonderful to talk about the victories that we have in Christ, and it's wonderful to talk about the victories that we have in the church until we realize that it costs something. Now, I have to be honest with you folks and tell you, it costs money to be able to accomplish great things for God and the church. And I thank God for this loving, giving church that we are a part of here. This is one of the most givingest churches that I have ever known. When I decided the Lord wanted us to begin a new work here on this corner over 8 years ago now, with a small handful of people, and we had just very little money, but those folks, and it consisted of some of you here this morning, you gave sacrificially. And others have come along now and got a part of our church, and they're doing the same thing. And just as it was down at Greenbush, we've always paid our bills on or before they are due. When I started Greenbush and started this church here, it's been my policy that the bills will be paid before I am paid. Well, 37 years have gone by, and I haven't missed a paycheck yet. We not only pay our bills and have a great reputation for doing so, but I'll guarantee you this, there's not a church in America that has a better reputation of paying bills than this one has. Now, some of them may have as good as ours, but nobody's got any better one than what we have. And I think that's one of the reasons that God has blessed our ministry. Another reason God has blessed our ministry is that we support a number of missionaries, and we always have. And I believe God blesses a ministry where they support missionaries. Our country has gone through some difficult times, and there are difficult times ahead. And the flags in heaven must be flying at half staff this morning because our politicians out down in Washington have repealed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell law. And that's a sad day for America when they've done that. And the vice president yesterday came on television and said in just a short time that the homosexuals will be allowed to be married just like regular heterosexuals will be. And that's coming soon. How in the world can things like that happen? And then we say, God, we want you to bless us. There's no way that's going to happen. But in spite of all of that, God has still been faithful to our ministry. Now, when we practice lordship and stewardship, God supplies our needs for which we are thankful. But before I can talk about stewardship, I must talk about lordship because there's no thing of having stewardship without having lordship first. Lordship simply means that Christ is the Lord of my life. He owns me completely. I am at his disposal, at his command. I am totally and completely 100% his. When I first became a Christian over 48 years ago now, I saw my need of giving God what belonged to him. And the Bible makes it perfectly clear that the amount I owe him and the amount that belongs to God is 10%. When we decided we were going to start tithing, we were spending out twice as much as what we were taking in. We were in a financial mess, to say the least. But in spite of that, we stepped out on faith and we began to tithe. And through the years, we have gradually increased that over the 10%. We've increased that. And the Lord took care of that financial mess that I personally made. God's economy is totally different than our economy. And there's no way to figure it out. There's no way to explain it. I just have found out if I give, God gives back to me. Let me show you a verse. Keeping your finger in our text, go over to Luke's gospel in the 6th chapter. Luke chapter 6. You'll find that on page 1081. Luke's gospel, the 6th chapter. And look with me at verse number 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38, page 1081. What's the first word there in verse 38? Give. And it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You may ask, is it possible to be a Christian and not live a Christian life? I think it is possible to be a Christian and still not have Christ as your Lord. But you won't be a very happy Christian. You won't be a very successful Christian. You won't be a fruitful Christian. And you certainly won't be a witnessing Christian. I believe if every born-again believer who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will make him the Lord of his life, this world will be completely different. There will not be as many empty church pews. More people will come to Christ for salvation, and revival will sweep across this beloved nation of ours, which it certainly is in need of. Yes, lordship comes before stewardship. Lordship means obeying his commands as best as we can with his help. Are you still there in Luke chapter 6? If you are, look down at verse number 46. Look at verse 46, or listen carefully. And our Lord is speaking. He says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. If he is the Lord of your life, you'll do what he says. If he's not the Lord of your life, you will not do what he says. And so many Christians today, he is not the Lord of their lives. Now, go back again to 3 John and look with me at verse number 2 again. Beloved, I wish above all things, above everything else, this is my wish, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I find at least three thoughts in this verse. Thought number one, financial prosperity. Thought number two, health prosperity. And thought number three, soul prosperity. Now, you all know what health prosperity is, and it's my wish for all of you folks in the year 2011 that you'll have a healthy new year. And you all know what soul prosperity is, and I hope that you enjoy that prosperity this coming year of 2011. And you all know what financial prosperity is, and it's my wish for you that you will prosper materialistically also this coming year. The Bible teaches us that God Almighty wants his children to be prosperous, not necessarily rich, but prosperous. I am convinced that the Lord cares about what we wear. I am convinced that the Lord cares about what we eat. I am convinced the Lord cares about what kind of a car we drive. I am convinced the Lord cares about how much money we have and whether we can pay our bills or not. I'm convinced about all of these things, and you are convicted about them all too. You're convinced about all of these things. I'm also convinced that the Lord is more concerned about your soul's prosperity than he is your physical and material prosperity. Many Christians are not prospering financially, even though they're giving scripturally, because they're not growing spiritually. Now, I want to give that to you again. You might want to jot that down. Many Christians are not prospering financially, even though they're giving scripturally, because they are not growing spiritually. Notice again very carefully exactly what 3 John and verse number 2 says. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. Notice what it says there. Even as thy soul prospers. Even as. You will prosper healthfully and financially in the same degree that your soul prospers. As you grow spiritually, you will prosper healthfully and financially. That's why God teaches that we're not always going to have good health, because God will sometimes allow us to have bad health in order for us to have good spiritual growth rather than have good health and have a problem with your spiritual health. He would rather you be broke and spiritual than be unspiritual and have a lot of money. And if he has to break your pocketbook to bring you back to him, and if he has to sometimes break your physical body to bring you back to him in order to give you spiritual prosperity, he will do it. If you really want him as Lord, you will let him have his way in all matters. You will grow under his mighty hand to a place where he can really prosper you monetarily, physically, and spiritually. Now, I want you to notice that John is not opposed to Christians having financial success. I think there are about four important problems involved with not having enough money. The first problem is social problems. I do not believe that God is the author of our social problems. Many times we cannot have social fellowship with our friends because we are financially embarrassed and over budgeted. So it affects our social life. It affects the social life of the family. There is no social life when we cannot afford it. And I believe God is not the author of this problem. And I want to inject something here that I've observed about our generation of today. Too many people are eating out today. Doesn't anybody cook at home anymore? We spend way too much money eating out. Now, I'm not opposed to eating out occasionally, but some people do it several times a week, and that's very expensive. Now, I realize I've gone to meddling a little bit and stopped preaching a little bit. We've been studying the book of Matthew, Survey of Matthew, on Wednesday nights, and our Lord gives several parables. And in several of those parables, he's talking about that we are going to give an account one day, folks, for the money that crosses our hands in our lifetime. We are going to give an account of that. Now, if you have given God his, And if you have your bills all paid, then eat out as often as you want to. But make sure you do all of these things first. We're going to give an account one day. You say, well, my heart's desire is that I eat out 3 or 4 times a week. All right, but make sure, first of all, God's got his, and your bills are all paid before you do. Secondly, family problems. Another reason we don't have enough money is family problems. A national survey taken a few years ago found that most family problems between husbands and wives are directly related to lack of money and or the misuse of it, and I don't think God's the author of this problem. Thirdly is emotional problems. Emotional problems are also caused by the lack of money. It is an emotional stress when we're unable to pay our bills and wonder where the next meal's coming from and how we're going to buy clothes for our kids and the lack of a job and the needs of the family. It affects us emotionally, and God's not the author of our emotional problems. Number four, spiritual problems. Whenever we do not have enough money, it sometimes is necessary for us to work 7 days a week or work overtime or get another part-time job and then have to go miss church, and we don't take care of our spiritual needs with our family, and all kinds of things happen. And God's not the author of our spiritual problems. I believe that it is God's will that we should be able to take care of our financial needs and that we should not have these problems that I've just mentioned. That's what John meant when he said, even as thy soul prospers. Now, as we progress with this thought, we're going to have to get some old ideas out of the way. The first idea is that the poor are the miserable and unhappy people. We're Christians, but we got to be poor to be Christians, and we got to be miserable, and we got to be unhappy, because that's the poor. They're Christians who are miserable and unhappy. And that the prosperous are the wicked and the worldly and the ungodly. That's not true. That is not true at all, but that prevails in a lot of churches today. We've got to get some of these ideas out of the way. Some of the greatest and godliest men in the Old Testament were wealthy people. Do you know it requires more faith to trust in the Lord when you have money, because you're trusting God even though you have every conceivable need met? And the truth is, you've learned to trust in the God that giveth riches rather than in the riches themselves. I believe it is God's will for you and I to have the desires of our heart. God wants to supply and does supply our needs, but he also wants to supply our wants. And I can back that up with Scripture. Keeping your finger in our text, go back to the 37th Psalm, please. Psalm 37, page 616, 616. Psalm 37. And look with me at verse number 4. 37th Psalm. Page 616, 37th Psalm, verse number 4. Look at it carefully. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires or the wants of thine heart. God wants to supply the needs that you have and does, and he also wants to give you the desires of your heart, the wants that you have. Now, I've said this many, many times. With every promise in the Bible, there's a condition to be met. What's the promise here? He'll give us the desires of our heart. What's the condition to be met here? That we've got to delight ourselves in the Lord. Keeping your finger there in that area of Psalms, go over to Mark chapter 11. I'll show you something that our Lord said about giving us the desires of our heart. Mark chapter number 11. That'll be on page 1061 of your Scofield Bible. Mark chapter 11. And look with me at verse number 24. The Lord is speaking. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, page 1061. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Whatsoever things you desire, whatsoever things you want. God promises more than just meeting our needs. Go back to your left to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, page 1003, page 1003, Matthew 6. After a few verses of describing what God has for us, our special needs and all, then he says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. What's the promise here? God's going to supply all these things. What's the condition for you? Seek first the kingdom of God, that's salvation, and then set out to live the right kind of a godly life. Now go over to Philippians chapter 4, to your right just a little bit, Philippians chapter 4, page 1261. Philippians chapter 4, look with me at verse number 19, Philippians 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This verse of scripture teaches that evidently from his resources in glory in which he is rich, he's promised to provide financial and material wealth. I believe every Christian has his needs met if he's doing his best to live the right kind of life the Bible says we ought to live. God knows what your needs are even before you ask him. However, God wants to supply some of your wants also because you ask him. Did you keep your finger back there in the 37th Psalm? If so, look at the 34th Psalm, back just another page. Psalm 34, page 614 in your Scofield Bible. 34th Psalm. Look at verses 9 and 10 with me. Psalm 34, page 614, verses 9 and 10. Verse number 9. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Now notice the last part of that verse. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now go back to the New Testament, to 1 John again, where you kept your finger. And then back up a page to 1 John chapter 5. And look at verse number 14 with me. Very important verse. That's on page 1325, 1 John chapter 5. And look at verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Did you notice something in that verse? If we ask anything according to his will. Is it possible you've been asking God for something that's not according to his will? Go to your left just a few pages and stop at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, page 1307. James chapter 1, look at verse number 17 with me. James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So we see that if the gift is good and if the gift is perfect, then it must come from above. And if it comes from above, it's got to be God's will. Go to your left a little bit further and stop at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, page 1278. 1278, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse number 17 with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God does not condemn those who are rich. The Bible does not say that money is the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Go back a page to 2 Timothy chapter 6. And look at verse number 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The rich and the poor alike can love money. There's no difference. Now, where do we find God's plan for salvation, for success and prosperity? For this, I want you to turn with me quickly to the book of Joshua, back towards the front of the Old Testament, Joshua, page number 259 in your Scofield Bible. Joshua chapter 1. This is the verse, one of the verses I first memorized as a babe in Christ. Joshua chapter 1, and look carefully at verse number 8. Joshua 1, verse 8, page 259. This book of the law, the word of God, the Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Dear folks, this book must be obeyed, and it must be lived as best as we humanly can with His help. Keeping something there, and go, we've got another verse, Matthew chapter 4, I want you to see. Matthew chapter 4, and we'll look at verse number 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, that'll be on page 997. 997, Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse number 4. And our Lord is again speaking, and he's in verse number 4, He says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We are to let the Word of God saturate our mental attitudes as we meditate upon it. Joshua 1:8 says, "That thou mayest observe." That means you're to study the Bible, meditate on it, think about what it says, and practice it. Notice again what it says in Joshua 1:8. We are to do all that is written therein. You cannot pick and choose what you want to obey and leave the rest out. You can't do that. No, it says all that is written therein. Dear folks, if you will do these things as best as you can with His help, then God's wish for you for 2011 and my wish for you for 2011 is found in our text verse in 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things, above everything else that I wish for this congregation, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, if you're not saved this morning, my desire for you is that you will get saved and get saved now before it's forever too late. But I've given you God's formula to have a happy, healthful, prosperous New Year, and I hope all of you will. Happy New Year. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that it gives us things that we ought to live by and try to live by. There's no greater book in all the world than the Word of God, the Bible. And all we've got to do is read it and believe it and practice it. But many are not willing to pay that price. And it is a price to pay. To spend some time every day in the Word of God and having it teach us how we ought to live. I pray, Father, if there's one in this good crowd here this morning that's not, has not exactly accepted Christ as Savior, they've not been saved, that they will come to Christ and not put it off. There may be some here this morning that they're in a financial bind and they're having trouble financially and it's hurting the family and hurting themselves and it's very difficult for them. I pray that they'll just follow your formulas and they can get out of it. I know because I was there many, many years ago, and I know that you can get us out of any financial mess that people might be into today if we'll just follow your rules. I pray you bless the invitation. I ask you to help folk to make decisions that they ought to make and they know they should make. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.